Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Leaving for the gym so early?
I'm ready to go.
Since you started taking Nugenix Total T, you've been acting like when we met in our 20s.
I feel like myself again. Lower testosterone after turning 40 slowed me down. Nugenix Total T has been a game changer for me.
What is it about Nugenix Total T that's different?
Well, it's a patented key ingredient called Testofen. It boosts free and total testosterone to help you get back the drive and energy from your youth. It's backed by 5 clinical studies.
I've seen the huge difference it's made for you in the gym, at work, and in the bedroom.
I'm so glad I sent them a text for my complimentary bottle. Text ROCK to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Nugenix is the number one selling testosterone-boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and we'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever. Absolutely free. Text ROCK to 321-321. That's ROCK to 321-321.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The U.S. carried out another round of airstrikes today against Iranian-backed Houthi militants in Yemen. The Pentagon's Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh says those strikes targeted Houthi launchers that posed an imminent threat to ships in the Red Sea.
The U.S. and the international community call on the Houthis to cease their unlawful attacks on commercial shipping vessels and to respect the international community's right to freely and safely navigate international waters.
It is the latest escalation in signs of a widening conflict in the Middle East. Attorney General Merrick Garland in Uvalde, Texas today, detailing the Justice Department's probe into the 2022 Uvalde school mass shooting. Garland says failures by police included waiting over an hour to stop the gunman who killed 19 children and 2 teachers. The New Hampshire primary now just 5 days out. Nikki Haley gaining momentum in the polls. She's stepping up her criticism of frontrunner Donald Trump. This is ABC News. The tech executive who helped oversee Facebook's transition to Meta is leaving the company's board.
Sheryl Sandberg has announced she will leave Meta's board of directors after her term is up in May. Sandberg joined the company in 2008 as chief operating officer, overseeing the company's push into digital ad sales. She also drew criticism for how the company handled Russia's manipulation of its platforms during the 2016 election, as well as data privacy issues and concerns around the platform's effect on teen mental health. In a Facebook post, Sandberg said she will remain an advisor to the company. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
A midday nap could be doing more harm than good. Researchers in China found adults who took naps were 12% more likely to develop high blood pressure. That's because naps can hurt our ability to get a full night's sleep. Experts do say that naps that last between 20 to 30 minutes in the early to mid-afternoon can still be beneficial. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Hey, is this Line Secure?
Franco cybersecurity firm secured a contract, and that's all we're allowed to say.
We have a green light on hiring.
He needs web security professionals with a military background.
3 teams of 4, 24-hour rotations, but Protocol Zulu is on a need-to-know basis.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard, so you can stay organized and connected all the way to the hire. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Jackson Hewitt has a plan to get your tax refund fast. With a buck here, buck there. Here buck, there buck, everywhere buck.
You don't have to wait weeks for your tax refund. Get money sooner with a no-fee refund advance loan at Jackson Hewitt.
On this loan, there's a money today guarantee. E-I-E-I-DO.
Don't settle for chicken feed. Get fast bucks at Jackson Hewitt today. No-fee refund advance loans by Republic Bank offered to eligible clients. Money today guarantee if approved for a loan on a prepaid card. Details at JacksonHewitt.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Elected Milwaukee city officials are a step away from a raise in pay. By a 9-6 vote Wednesday, the Milwaukee Common Council approved giving themselves, the mayor, and other elected city leaders a 15% pay raise. That's starting with their next term in April. Those entities haven't had a raise in pay since 2008. The vote was taken just 17 days after Milwaukee started the state's first city sales tax. One of the alders who voted against the pay raises, Bob Bowman, told Fox 6 Milwaukee it was the size of the raise that he objected to.
I think it was too much at once. Had that increase been spread out, had it been a couple of percent in the first year, a few percent after that, I think it would have been more palatable.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson still needs to sign off on the pay raises. an attempted kidnapping in Waukesha County Monday afternoon. The sheriff's office there says a 40-year-old woman was leaving the beer depot in Pewaukee when a 37-year-old Waukesha man approached her and picked her up off the ground. The woman got away from the man and ran back into the store. She wasn't injured. The man who left the scene in a vehicle was later located at his residence and taken into custody. Charges against the man are under review. Self-harm can be a concern for kids returning to school.
As students begin the spring semester, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services encourages parents and caregivers to be aware of data that shows young people experience large increases in self-harm injuries at certain times of the year, including when school resumes after the winter holidays. Self-harm refers to intentional actions to hurt oneself. Examples include cutting, hitting, poisoning, or burning. It may be done to express or lessen emotional pain. Find more information on the DHS website. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN Radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
Becoming cloudy today in our real country. 1430 forecast. 50% chance of snow late this afternoon. Highs near 10, north winds at around 10. Tonight, cloudy, 50% chance of snow early, low 4 below. Tomorrow, partly sunny, highs near 6. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas versus Colfax girls basketball tonight. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 7. Tip-off at 7:15 on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at realcountry1430.com.
Grains actually had a good day with most contracts closing near the highs of the session. But with prices making new for the move lows, there's some growing speculation that maybe importers are taking a look at supplies out of the U.S. The cattle complex closed with sharp gains and lean hogs were mixed.
Live from the warm before the storm via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Craig Van Dyke from CoAlliance Cooperative. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. And now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Yeah, by my handy-dandy little weather app on my phone here, it says that it will be snowing, and snowing significantly by the time we wrap up the show.
Significantly, they're saying now.
Yes. Hmm. I don't know, maybe 3, 4, 5 inches.
Well, get this. I'm at 37 degrees and cloudy here in Kansas City.
Right.
And yet I'm under a wind chill advisory.
Oh,
these conditions,
man,
are expected by 12 a.m. Central Standard Time Friday, January 19. I'm not quite sure what to make of this, Chip. It's a little disconcerting.
Yeah. Well, it's going to get cold again. I don't think there's any question about that. We're 12 degrees.
Yeah.
I walked outside over the lunch hour and just kind of stood there for a little bit and took it all in.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
12 degrees felt good.
I realized that when I opened the door after my lunch today to go outside to do something similar, I wasn't bracing myself against the blast, against the cold. You know? I lost
but there
that quick.
It was. Smacked you in the face, did it?
No, not today. It was a warm caress on my cheek.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
Like a John Denver song outside.
We are going to have a conversation today with Craig Van Dyke. He's with CoAlliance Cooperative over in Indiana. When we get a quarterly grain stocks report, you'll notice that we've spent some time with some grain analysts that kind of specialize in local or regional markets heading into the grain stocks report. For example, had Clark Neighbors on. The guy tracks regional movement of grain as well as anybody I know. So we had Clark on to kind of set it up. Well, let's talk with Craig now and see what has changed when it comes to regional movement in grains following that quarterly grain stocks report. I'm looking forward to the conversation with him. All right, yeah. Man, let's go ahead and get started.
Well, Chip, wheat futures built an upside recovery after trading mixed at mid-morning. Disruption in global grain flows thanks to conflicts in the Red Sea and the Black Sea and the drought in Panama are all raising the potential that some importers may look to the U.S. Wheat supplies to cover a portion of upcoming needs more easily. March soft red winter wheat futures opened higher, then spiked through support at 580 before recovering to close near the high of the day. March HRW wheat futures were 11 and one quarter cents higher, 605 and a quarter. March SRW wheat up 3 cents, 585 and a half. March spring wheat closed at 688. That's up 7 3/4 cents. It's just easier to get wheat out of the United States, Chip.
Yeah, and I think that the ease of access that you mentioned there, that ease of access might be getting us a little bit of business before too long. Well, that and the fact that we're trading here at new lows.
Sure.
The price does tend to influence total demand out there, and we should be competitive in most areas.
Well, Chip, ethanol production in the weekend of January 12 averaged 1.054 million barrels per day. That's down 8,000 from the previous week, but it's 46,000 barrels per day ahead of the same week last year.
Wow.
Ethanol stocks ballooned 1.324 million barrels to a hefty 25.695 million. South American crop watchers continue to ratchet down expectations for the Brazilian corn crop, but some are now expecting a record corn crop in Argentina. March corn futures fell to a new contract low and spiked support at 440 before recovering to close above the opening range and near the high of the day. March corn futures 1 3/4 cents higher, 444. May corn up 1 1/4, 455. July corn futures closed at 463 and a half, up a penny on the day. Second day in a row, I see that 440 in the March corn, Chip.
Yeah, that's not where we want to be trading. On those ethanol stocks, there was a time that we would say if you were building up stocks that much, it was in anticipation that we were going to be seeing some exports. Maybe that's the case again.
Ooh.
But, boy, that's a hefty stocks total right now.
Yeah. Well, bean and soybean meal prices recovered from early session price pressure to finish on the plus side of unchanged. Soybean oil prices, however, gave up mid-morning gains to end slightly lower as spreaders got back on the long meal, short bean oil trade. Early stress on Brazilian soybeans continues to limit downside price risk on beans, but the outlook for a good bean crop in Argentina is taking some of the risk out of Brazil's drought. March beans opened steady and slipped to within a penny of 12 bucks before prices recovered to close near session highs. March beans up 7 3/4 cents today to close at 12.13 and a half. May beans up 6 cents, 12.24 and a quarter. July beans closed at 12.33, up 4 3/4 cents. Go, Argentina, go, Chip.
Yeah, big crop coming there. You got to look at the total supply out of South America, not just what's happening in Brazil.
March cotton was 81 points higher today, 82.51. On your livestock, February live cattle up $1.72 and a half to 174.82 and a half. April futures up 202 and a half to 177.65. March feeder futures up $2.77 and one half to 232.55. And on the snout side, February lean hog futures down 35 cents, 71.10. The April contract, however, up 47 and one half, 78.45. Chip.
All right, Davis, thank you very much. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Hey, Oliver, how's it going?
You know what? It feels darn good to see some green on the screen today. So I got to say, I'm doing halfway decent. Better than yesterday. We'll put it that way.
The close is above the opening range. The close is near the high of the day. In the grains in particular, it feels like we're trying to build a little bit of momentum for an upside recovery.
Yeah, trying to. And I tell you what, corn up, you know, 1 or 2 cents feels like it's up a dime after the last week or so. But I think it was encouraging. You know, today was, you know, the third or fourth day following last Friday's report. And a lot of times that day three and day four, you get margin departments stepping in, forcing people out, which I think we saw on the open, potentially some forced liquidation and people throwing in the towel. And the fact that we were able to see some capitulation and some buyers step in following that, I think, is encouraging. But the bulls still certainly have their work cut out for them as far as the technicals go.
All right. April cattle, the highest level since December 12. It kind of, that low range open, high range close, it kind of looks like it's trying to make an extended move to the upside.
It really does. And I think we were talking last week, I was kind of in the camp that we would see more of a range bound trade between 170, 175. Didn't really think that cash was going to rip to the upside, but we got a nice breakout move on the chart today, which certainly opens the door for an extension. We do got a report coming around the corner though. So that's going to be, potentially something to keep an eye on. And potentially that was a factor in today's move to the upside, but nice to see this rally in cattle over the last month or so.
Yeah. Report tomorrow, cattle on feed report. But at the end of the month, we get that cattle inventory. And boy, that's going to be an important one.
Exactly. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the volatility continue. I'm still a little bit cautious for guys that, need to protect the downside. We're taking advantage of this rally just to dot our I's and cross our T's.
Gotcha. Good stuff, Oliver. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Okay. We got the quarterly grain stocks report out of the way. What did it tell us? What kind of an impact is it having on the cash trade out there? We'll talk with Craig Van Dyke from CoAlliance Cooperative next here on AgriTalk.
There I was, driving along when I saw the corn laying down in the field, goosenecked again. Even though I tried everything, new traits, existing soil insecticides, every corn grower knows the hassle of gooseneck corn. But now there's Narisma Insecticide from BASF, a better, stronger in-furrow insecticide that controls corn rootworm and below-ground pests. Stand up for your corn with Narisma Insecticide. Ask your authorized BASF retailer about Narisma. And always read and follow label directions.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Get a strong start to your sorghum season with Double Team Sorghum. The Double Team Sorghum Cropping Solution provides superior post-emergent grass control, giving you clean sorghum fields, reliable yields, and improved profitability. Double Team is powered by the proprietary DT trait and uniquely formulated first-act herbicide for a completely integrated and flexible solution for grass control in sorghum. Visit DoubleTeamSorghum.com to learn how to get cleaner fields and bigger yields.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, for strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday afternoon, making our way right into the end of the week. I'm on snow watch. I don't see any flakes coming down quite yet. The radar says it's snowing here. But the view out my bunker window is saying no.
Sounds to me like the only thing flaky about it is your radar.
Yeah, it might be it right there.
I don't know. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, let's get Craig Van Dyke in here. Craig is with Alliance Cooperative over in Valparaiso, Indiana. He joins us right now. Hey, Craig, how's it going, man?
Chip, doing well. How are you doing?
Doing real fine. How's the weather treating you?
Probably like most everybody else. You know, it's sad when you walk out today and it's about 20 degrees here and it's like, man, this feels good. You know, it says t-shirt weather almost, but we're going to be in the same boat as you pretty soon and being right off the lake. We've got lake effect coming our way with plenty of wind. So, you know, we had one day of relief and now it's back to being cold and a pain in the butt to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it slowing down movement at all or any impact on grain movement at all?
It's definitely slowing up movement, you know, across, you know, all logistics, right? Truck, rail. It just took us about 4 days to load a train, corn train, just because everything was frozen. And it took a lot of, you know, backwoods ingenuity to get things unstuck and moved. And you know, when it's negative 15 out with wind chills, it's, you know, nothing works right. So the flow is definitely been slowed up here. And that probably playing a little bit of a role here as to what we're seeing in the cash market a little bit, if you're looking to dig into that.
You bet. Absolutely. That's exactly where we want to go. It, you know, when we got that quarterly grain stocks report out last Friday, take a look at the on-farm versus off-farm storage, and there's some stories to tell there, isn't there?
There absolutely is. And, you know, I think I want to emphasize that the situation is maybe slightly different in the east versus the west, and I'll call the Mississippi the dividing line, right? And what I'm starting to see is, you know, farmer movement obviously lacking because of weather at the moment, which has maybe given us a slight push in basis in corn for some areas. But overall on the corn side, you know, basis in the east continues to remain very heavy. You know, the timing between the east and the west as to when we finished up harvest and when stuff got moving, you know, we didn't have guys even finishing harvesting because of how big the crop is, the lack of space, how wet the corn was, just a monster crop in the east, which is continuing to keep some pressure on eastern basis. And I expect that to continue really moving forward. With the west, you know, we are seeing a little bit better values here. We are seeing some jumps in the west on rail. And I think, you know, some of that is due to weather, yes. But also, you know, the west wrapped up harvest quite a bit earlier. You know, now movement from the farmer is probably slowed up a little bit more. So we're seeing basis do a little bit of that work because futures obviously aren't. Whereas in the east, it's just a problem all the way around where there's enough grain everywhere. The farmer still is moving grain.
Yeah.
And there's really no incentive for basis to get overly exciting.
Okay.
But the bean side.
Yeah. Okay.
You know.
Well, hey, before you go to beans, I'll bring you back to beans here in a second, Craig. The end user interest in booking some needs at these prices that we've got in futures, I would think that it would be on the rise, but are they still waiting, kind of got their hands in their pockets? What's going on?
Well, that's a good point. And you would think that'd be the case, right? Try to buy it as cheap as I can up front here, right? But they haven't needed to because of how big the crop is in the east and how much space was taken up coming into harvest, how much has moved so much later than normal. You know, the end user's needs right now, to me in the east, look pretty comfortable between now and March. We're starting to see, I'm starting to feel and see some more interest into, you know, April, May timeframe. Vomit toxin is definitely an issue in the east. So overall, it's commercial ownership hasn't, or end user ownership hasn't they haven't had a need to get carried away on bidding up.
Okay.
So, but that, can we roll it into the beans then?
Yeah, that's a great lead. Absolutely. Okay.
That's where I'm starting to see that the change is in beans here. I think we're making the turn on that. You know, the end user here is, has been relying on the farmer as they normally do. They like to play it hand to mouth. And I don't know why they want to not plan forward, right? And book needs further out, but then all of a sudden they go hand to mouth, the farmer shuts off, and now all of a sudden, boom, they are bidding up, right?
Okay.
And I think we're starting to see that turn here. The farmer has shut off. We moved a lot of beans early in the East.
Yeah.
You know, the export program is shutting off for beans right now. You look at, you know, on paper values from South America to here, and those numbers start to work, right? So importing beans from Brazil begin to work. But there's a lot of gray area in logistics between now and then, right? You know, ship, you know, only moves so fast, and the timing of that to me encourages basis, especially after this move in futures, is going to encourage basis to get a little bit stronger unless futures want to start doing some work. So,
okay,
you know, I see the action in futures today. I mean, to me, kind of paints my overall picture for the markets. You know, you saw beans with some slight strength. You saw corn. It's still a dog, right?
Yeah.
We're searching for reasons to be excited about corn. And I hate to be, you know, more cold weather, but corn is still a dog in my opinion. But I think we're starting to see a little bit of a turn here on the bean side that could be a little bit of a shining light.
Okay. Okay. Some of that has got to do with the Brazilian situation, right?
Yes. Right. You know, there's been the hot topic right as well. What's Brazil's production, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're, you know, trying to find something that we can be excited about, bullish about. I get it. It's hard to be excited in this environment with where prices are. So we're searching. And, you know, I think you and Craig Turner maybe talked about it a little bit yesterday as far as what Argentina looks like they'll be doing to offset any reductions in Brazilian production losses, right? And when I look here at FOB values out of Brazil, I sit here and say, the cash market hasn't really been suggesting that the market is overly concerned with a lack of soybean supply out of Brazil. Now, I think it's fair to say that their crop is not going to be as big as we expected. Mm-hmm. But the cash market is giving the signs that say, maybe don't get so wrapped up in the outlier estimates of how small or big the South American soybean crop is going to be, right? We run into the same issues here in the U.S., right?
Sure.
I mean, we saw it this summer, right? I mean, the estimates of where we would be were just all over the place. And you could maybe make the argument they've had partially, right, dry conditions like we saw, and we still turned out a pretty decent crop. And the only flip side would be that it was not as hot in the U.S. That it has been in Brazil. So, yes, you see a reduction down there for sure. But right now, the overall supply and demand picture, you know, weaker crush margins, weaker Chinese data, weaker Chinese crush margins, smaller Chinese hog herd, declining Chinese populations. A lot of bad news out there.
GDP that's just kind of meh.
You know, and you know, when do markets find their low? Well, when everything is its most bearish, right?
Yep.
And so maybe we're seeing a little bit of that here in the near term, and that's, you know, I think something we'll have to watch. You know, what is the futures price action trying to hint to us? What is basis going to be doing? You know, and how do we manage each of those pieces here as we're moving into spring?
Okay, fantastic. Good stuff here, Craig. When we come back, we're talking with Craig Van Dyke, Co-Alliance Co-op over in Valparaiso, Indiana. when we come back, what do we do about it? What does all of this mean for producers' marketing strategies in the year ahead? We'll talk about that next with Craig here on AgriTalk.
Up with the AgMarket.net team in Music City as the company will host its Farming for Profit, Not Price Conference February 4th and 5th. Aside from the AgMarket.net team, Dan Bozzi, Brian Burke, Randy Dowdy, Dave Hightower, Eric Snodgrass, Joe Vaklovic, and Mackenzie Johnson will all be there. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to register. There is a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
To be a farmer is to be an eternal optimist, trusting in the certainty of the seasons, where launching into new frontiers enables us to find new yields. Commodity Classic is where you'll connect with progressive farmers from around the world, just like you. And together, we'll explore new frontiers in agriculture. Join us in Houston, February 28th through March 2nd, 2024. Houston, we have no problem. Discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where March hard red winter wheat futures were 11 and one quarter cents higher, 605 and a quarter at the close. March SRW wheat up 3 cents to 585 and one half. March corn futures were 1 3/4 cents higher, 444. May corn up 1 1/4 to 455. March soybeans up 7 3/4 cents today to close at 1213 and one half. May soybean futures up 6 cents, 1224 and a quarter. March cotton was 81 points higher, 82.51. On your livestock, February fat cattle up 172 and a half to 174.82 and a half. March feeder futures up $2.77 and one half to 232.55. February lean hogs down 35 cents to 71.10, but look out, the April contract was up 47 and a half to 78.45. Try ProFarmer.com, gang.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You wouldn't let a little cold weather or snow interrupt your outdoor cooking experience? No, of course not. You're the master of the pit. No wind or snow or ice is slowing you down. So that's why we at Grandpa's Barbecue salute you. The rich, original flavor of barbecue the way it was meant to be. But you should also know that it works great in a crock pot, too. Shh, you didn't hear that from us. Grandpa's Barbecue, available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Starting off sunny today with clouds increasing. High temperatures climb to the teens and with winds calmer today, it'll actually feel like that. By tonight, we'll see a few flurries flying around with chance of snow through the overnight. And we could be waking up to a trace to a half an inch of snow on the ground tomorrow morning. Are you behind on tax payments? Call Tax Solutions now for help. 1-800-281-8193. 8 degrees at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are in the middle of a conversation with Craig Van Dyke, Co-Alliance Co-op over in Valparaiso, Indiana. Craig, let's get to what all this means. And because of what's going on with bean basis, start with beans, if you would.
Fair enough. I'd say a lot of what I think how a guy should approach it at this point probably applies to both markets.
Okay.
First step here, right? We've seen this monster drop in price here, right? The past month, both corn and beans, right? We've just seen the nonstop pressure. First step here is do not be a deer in the headlights. Okay. Do not be, it's easy, right? Deer in the headlights gets run over. Okay. Yeah. It's easy to sit on your hands, not do anything until, you know, well, it's in the bin, whatever. Right. I'm not worried about it now. I don't need the money right now. Yada, yada. That is not the way you want to be marketing grain. Right. And especially in a challenging environment now. So to me, it's cold out. Should be plenty of reason to be indoors. Sit down and do the math. Sit down and do the math. I was a broker for many years. I'm an originator and merchandiser now. I mean, I have 8 Excel spreadsheets up every day doing the math. Right. It is crucial to being successful in navigating markets. I see it farmer facing here that what do you do now, right? What decision do I make now, Craig? Do I sell it now? Do I store it? If you don't have your numbers in front of you, that decision is 10 times harder.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if you've done any sort of marketing up until today and sold grain and maybe at better prices, I sit here and say, okay, market, it's not where we would all like it to be. Okay. Mm-hmm. You've got grain in the bin, but we're so focused on price per bushel and not revenue per acre. Okay. Mm-hmm. I guys in our area have yields well above their average. And I sit here and say, if you've done any marketing at all, put that pencil to paper and say, all right, even if I do sell the rest of my crop in the bin at today's price or May delivery, July delivery, whatever you're facing, mm-hmm. what is my revenue per acre? And if you're doing 15, 20, 40 bushel better to the acre than, you normally would or what you penciled in at the beginning of last year, well, that helps you, be able to make the difficult decisions during difficult price timing, right? So that to me is, I can't emphasize enough. I've seen it a lot, being on location and farmer facing that, boy, get your numbers in front of you. It makes a world of difference in making decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't do the math, you're leaving money on the table. The problem is you don't know how much money you're actually leaving on the table.
Right. Right. So how are we supposed to guide you to decisions? Right.
Right.
I can't sit here as a merchandiser and buy grain and just say, oh yeah, well, let's go sell it today. Right. Yeah. I mean, well, what's interest cost, right? What's mm-hmm. the spreads looking like? If you plan on carrying bushels, do you have quality? Are you going to run into damage issues? You need to be locking in carry, right? What is your interest cost right now? Mm-hmm. A lot of that stuff has to be factored in. Some of that stuff is, maybe a little bit new. We haven't dealt with interest in quite some time. I would argue that maybe the industry is still a little bit behind the curve on completely grasping how much of an influence interest is playing a role, right? For storing grain, for merchandising grain, for marketing grain, for making financial decisions. Can I sell grain today and return, get a return, better return somewhere else? Yeah. Right. So to me, those are the big steps.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the structure of the markets right now with the carry and the markets. You got 20 cents. Is it in both corn and beans?
Both corn and beans. How far do you want to carry it?
Well, March out to July. March out to July is what I'm looking
at.
Yes. How does that influence and how does that have an impact on your decisions?
Right. So very simply here, let's just figure a, 3 to 4 cent, cost, interest cost to carry in corn. And let's figure 7 cents on beans, right? Okay. At basic math, it's going to cost me 7 cents a month in interest, right, to carry it. Corn, it's going to be quite a bit cheaper at these levels. Quick math says, well, I don't know if I should be carrying soybeans that far out because of interest costs, right?
Right.
But I also sit here and say, well, maybe what will we start to see in basis on beans, you know, offsets some of that, right? And maybe futures also help do some of that work. I would argue on the bean side, a little bit different than corn. Sure, we've done the math. Now, what are we willing to risk, right? What's our risk reward potential? And, you know, I think the farmer plays a big role right now in where the end user is going to have to be, more so in beans, because I think the end user has run dry of farmer beans. Now it's going to be their job. How do we pull it out from them? But corn, you've got big on-farm stocks. Market knows it. You know the old adage, right? Market doesn't rally till it pulls that corn out of the farmer's hand. And there's just a lot of truth to that when you look at the balance sheet and where corn is right now and what has to happen moving forward. So, so yeah, you know, you want to ask the question, well, which do I store, Craig? Do I store corn or do I store beans? Now, some of it's obviously, you know, region, region specific. It's, that's a difficult answer to ask for everybody. But I think ultimately it goes back to where are your numbers at? What's your plan? Do not get stuck in a rut here, and that'll help you guide some decisions.
Okay. It feels like, to me, on soybeans, if you haven't already moved beans, and you are, even if you're looking for some kind of an upside recovery, don't you go ahead and market beans and move the risk over to paper?
Unless you think you can get a good 40, 50 cents in basis appreciation.
Okay.
And I would say in the East, you know, we moved a lot of beans out early to make room for corn. Also because wheat was taking up way too much space. You and I talked about that. I think it was in September or August. Wheat was taking up too much space. Corn or soybean interest costs was too much. Beans were coming in early. We moved a lot of beans out early in the East to make room for corn. So if you're a farmer holding beans there, I you might argue that basis appreciation and maybe futures of, as well, if they want to join here, maybe managed money is piled a little bit too heavily to the short side, and we can get some breathers to the upside and futures as well. Start to really open the door there.
All right. What about the 24 crop? What are your initial thoughts there?
I look at where corn is priced today, and I look at the potential corn carryout. Even with, you know, a fairly reasonable drop in acres, you know, let's assume we don't have to go another record yield, but let's assume an average crop, you know, you're talking a 2.5, 2.6 billion bushel carryout. There's a tremendous amount of downside risk in these 24 corn to me. Now, don't get me wrong. What's going to happen between now and next year, right? There's could be a million outliers.
Who knows?
What's weather? Who knows? The Packers will win the Super Bowl. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen moving forward, right? But there, you know, it's difficult coming off the mindset and prices we've had the past 2 years. This is our, you know, typical cycle. It's hard for us to grasp the psychology of what we've seen in prices the past few years coming into that pendulum swinging back the other way. So, you know, don't let, you know, perfection be the killer of excellence, right? I mean, you've got to crunch your numbers for next year as well and think, boy, we have a 2.5, 2.6 carryout. I don't expect us to be anywhere close to $5 these 24 corn futures. On the soybean side, you know, okay, well, I think looking at today's numbers, we can suspect maybe we are going to get quite a few bean acres. I think the market's done a fairly decent job already at this $12 area. You know, historically, I think, you know, you've got a range right here from $10.50 to $12 if, you know, the balance sheet plays out in 24. So, you know, are we at some fair values, maybe a little bit of extra premium out there because we don't know what weather is going to be. We still aren't exactly sure where South America is. Yeah, maybe so. But, you know, if you're going to be a deer in the headlights for crop in the bin right now, then I guarantee you're going to be a deer in the headlights for next year's crop.
Yeah.
And that's no way to run a business.
Yep. Stay active. You know,
stay
keep running
active.
The numbers.
It's always changing, right?
Yeah.
But we've got to work with what we know now. And if there's opportunities, because they will come, opportunities will come. I don't want to sound like a, you know, negative Nelly here. Opportunities will come. Funds will push too far one way and, you know, we'll get a fast spike one way or the other. But if you're not prepared to capture it, you won't.
Right. Exactly right. And the way that you prepare to capture it is by running the numbers and knowing what works and what doesn't. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Appreciate you, Craig. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Chip. Thank you so much for having me on. You have a good one. Stay warm.
All right, buddy. Craig Van Dyke, Co-Alliance Co-op over in Valparaiso, Indiana. Davis and I will be right back.
Paid by UpLevel Rewards. Paid participation required after portrayal.
Hey, where'd you get all that cash?
You mean this $1,000?
Yes, that $1,000. Where did you get all that cash?
Since it's January, I went to JanuaryCash32.com and got $1,000.
You got $1,000?
Yes. Just go to JanuaryCash32.com this month and follow the simple instructions on the site. Once you finish, the $1,000 is yours.
It's that easy to get $1,000?
It is, but only in January. You just answer the basic questions on the site, complete the deals they show you, and get $1,000 sent to your Venmo or PayPal.
I'm always short on cash. I'm going to JanuaryCash32.com right now to get my $1,000.
Ready to get your $1,000? Get started right now at JanuaryCash32.com. Remember, this offer is only valid in January. So go to JanuaryCash32.com. Just go to JanuaryCash32.com. Follow the simple instructions and get your $1,000. Go to JanuaryCash32.com. That's JanuaryCash32.com. Don't wait. It's this month only. Go to JanuaryCash32.com. JanuyoryCash32.com. JanuyoryCash32.com.
Take steps to live a more sustainable lifestyle by investing in plastic-free food storage containers like silicone sandwich bags or beeswax wraps, which can replace the difficult-to-recycle single-use plastic wrap. And while we all do our part, Charmin is working hard to make a difference by regrowing 2 trees for every tree used. We all go, why not enjoy the go with Charmin? Whether it's the irresistible cushiony softness of Charmin Ultra Soft or the superior strength and absorbency of Charmin Ultra Strong, either way, you can't go wrong.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get a strong start to your sorghum season with Double Team Sorghum. The Double Team Sorghum cropping solution provides superior post-emergent grass control, giving you clean sorghum fields, reliable yields, and improved profitability. Double Team is powered by the proprietary DT trait and uniquely formulated First Act herbicide for a completely integrated and flexible solution for grass control in sorghum. Visit DoubleTeamSorghum.com to learn how to get cleaner fields and bigger yields.
After I got out of the Marine Corps, coming back home, it was just a mental breakdown for me. I was on the verge of giving up. That chapter, that season in my life was over. Now what? Who was I? That's what I kept asking myself. The pressure to have it all together, to heal, to quiet down the monsters inside, it was too much. I lost it. I had heard about the Wounded Warrior Project. I had seen the logo and that visual of a warrior carrying another warrior. The programs that the Wounded Warrior Project offers, it's not just the veteran themselves, it's their whole family. It brings it all together. We have scars that we carry, and just because the scars are there doesn't mean that we're any less than what we were. Right now, I'm the best version that I ever have been of myself. I can embrace the brokenness.
You wouldn't go into battle alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson here. Glad you've decided to spend some time with us. Chip's here as well.
Yeah.
On this Thursday, we're going down, man. We're going down.
You know what else is coming down?
Is it snowing?
Snowflakes.
Yeah. So we've got flurry flurries. Let's see.
Yeah.
That's not bad. It's happening. I can stand on its own. Yeah.
It's happening again. Here it goes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know what? Let's talk about Oliver for a moment.
Okay.
He said, you're like, well, Oliver, yeah, how do you feel about the markets? And his response, you know, I think we're doing darn good here. He was feeling good today. It was good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those, you know, when you get those closes, when you get, bars structured, the way that they are today. So you open mostly steady. You go down. You test the downside. You run out of selling interest and snap the thing back on an upside recovery and close it near the session highs. Even if you're only up a penny in corn, like he said, it still feels pretty good.
Yeah, it feels like a dime. Yeah,
it still feels like a dime. And it's the structure of the markets and the way that the day unfolded that makes you feel good about a penny up in corn. Yeah. And I felt the same way. There's more reason to be optimistic about corn putting in a low today than what there was yesterday at the close. Let's put it that way.
Okay. I think I did this yesterday too, but I'm going to kind of put you on the spot. Feel free to just sort of back away subtly, you know, whatever you need to do, throw a smoke bomb or something if you just need to get out of this. But he said something that I didn't quite follow. He says, well, yeah, you know, and we're 3 or 4 days out from the report. We got margin calls coming out now, so that could, I don't even know what he's talking about at that point. Is that something we need to be aware of at all? What's he saying?
In cattle, we get the cattle and feed report tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
Okay. So there may be some forced liquidation is what he was talking about, some forced liquidation. And really what's going on here is the maintenance margins have been exhausted on some of these positions. And what that means is if you are short cattle and the market has been going to the upside, and then today, not just kind of grinding to the upside, but get a breakout move back up to the levels that we haven't seen since the middle of December, all of a sudden the margin calls start going out to those that are short the market with the message, hey, you got to put some more money in your account to cover the losses that you're picking up.
I gotcha.
Now, if you're picking up losses and you've used that short position in futures as a hedge on cattle, the cash market is working for you. The cash market, I think we'll have to wait and see tomorrow, But I think the cash market is going up as fast, if not just a touch faster, than what it is going than what the futures are going up. Therefore, the gains in the cash market are offsetting any losses that you are seeing in the futures market. So the hedge is working. The price that you locked in when you established that hedge is still your price. Now, if that gets backwards and futures start gaining quicker than the cash market is gaining, that's when basis starts to work against you, and you got to make a decision. Do you get out of that hedge? Do you move the cattle a little bit earlier? What are you going to do to limit the losses of basis getting upside down on you? So there's some decisions to be made. But the bottom line is you got to keep feeding the beast when when you're short and the market is going up, if you're going to stay short.
Yeah.
And today, maybe some of the spec money, the non-hedge money that was in the cattle market, they got that margin call and just decided to heck with this. I'm not going to stay in that short position. So they covered some shorts. And and you get a pop. And you get a pop up to the highest levels in a month.
Wow. Well, thank you for that explanation. That's really good. Yeah.
Okay.
CBD, Craig Van Dyke, Co-Alliance Co-op, great conversation there. I wrote down a whole, I mean, I took notes on the stuff that he was saying, farmer movement currently kind of slow, Eastern Belt basis, heavy, yada, yada. But, dude, he was throwing out some nuggets here. It's cold out. Sit down and do math. Focus on revenue per acre, not price per bushel. Yeah. The market doesn't rally until it pulls corn from the farmer's hands. Don't let perfection kill excellence. That might be my favorite one right there.
Right, right. Yeah. There have been many times that it has been proven that the easiest time for the corn market, and it's not the corn market in particular, it's the bean market, it's the wheat market, it's the widget market. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
When those that are producing a commodity are sold out of said commodity, that's the easiest time for a market to rally. We may be close to that. I think the point that Craig was making is that we're closer to that on soybeans than what we are on corn.
Yes.
And so maybe give this bean market a chance. On the corn side of thing, there's still plenty of supply out there that we need to deal with. And that quarterly grain stocks report said that a lot of the grain, a lot of corn, is still in the farmer's hands.
Yep.
And I can't recall, it might have been Clark Neighbors, made a comment earlier that when you look at the amount of corn that's stored off farm, the one thing that the grain stocks report doesn't tell you who owns that corn, it could be in commercial storage still owned by the farmer too. So.
Sure.
Yeah, a lot of things to consider. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook, January 24th through the 28th. Above normal temperatures expected over the country. We've got above normal precipitation, southern Minnesota, Iowa, most of Nebraska, and points to the south and east of that. Real quick, out to the 8 to 14 day, Jan 26th to February 1.
What?
Yes. Above normal temperatures expected over the country. Below normal precipitation expected over most of the Corn Belt until you get out to the Far East. Thank you so much for listening this afternoon. Tomorrow morning, House Ag Chairman Glenn Thompson in the free-for-all here on AgriTalk.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. Growing up in Oklahoma, I had big dreams of becoming a successful country music singer. But I also knew the odds were against me and that I needed an education to fall back on. Studying never got in the way of my dreams. In fact, school gave me lots of opportunities I wouldn't have had otherwise with my career. Please stay in school and try your best. You never know where a good education might take you. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
You're going to feel a puff of air.
Zhang's Optometry has set their sights on staffing up.
Try the next line. Hey, Kim, can you tell our 2 o'clock we're running 15 behind? Sorry, we're a bit backed up today.
He needs an optometric technician to keep an eye on it all.
Where are the dilation drops?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job.